About time the producer got some damn sense. 301-230-0980 is the number. Chris Russell Show right here on the Team 980. Lynnell Willingham sitting in for the Rooster. He'll be back with you on Monday. We'll take you up to 4 o'clock before we hand things over to the DOC, Rick Doc Walker. He'll take you on your afternoon drive home. Loaded show already to this point. Got to hear and have a good, long conversation with ESPN NFL insider Dan Graziano. If you missed, any of that conversation, go back to the 120 spot on the Odyssey app to hear him dish on what he thinks, you know, happens between McLaurin and the Commanders. I'll say this about the Graz interview, just to, like, recap it a little bit for those of you that are just joining. Tell me if I'm right with this, AMAC. Like, from Graz's perspective, and I think everyone's perspective, everyone feels like that at some point it's going to get done. I'm not there anymore. How many signs do we have to get that these two sides are not on the same page? They're not. What's going to get them on the same page? What's going to change between now and Labor Day weekend? To me, nothing. That's why I said I've milked this. And saying that I'm milking it is obviously I'm being facetious. But, like, we've talked about it a ton the past 2 days, in the past week since he's reported. I'm at the point right now where I have nothing else to say on it until the next time I think something happens, and that's Labor Day weekend when this team's got to play a football game. So I just don't see any movement here. Terry's dug in. The team's dug in. I do think that McLaurin will request a trade. And I heard Denton talking about this earlier with Scott Jackson. Denton asked the question of, well, do they get something done by next Friday when they play the preseason game, the preseason opener against New England? Hell no. I don't think they get something done by then. What would change between now and next Friday to get the two sides to agree to a deal? Buddy Baker went, I didn't see him on the practice field today. Who knows if they're even speaking? That's what I'm saying. Like, the optics, maybe it's from Terry's. Maybe this is Terry and Buddy trying to play the optics game. Well, if I'm here in the building and my agent's here, maybe the fans will think that I'm, you know, negotiating in good faith. I don't believe either side's negotiating in good faith right now. But here's the other thing, the catch-22 of all of it. I see both sides of the equation. Like, if Washington was like, hey, look, man, we only got 28 per for you, I guess I would get it. But if Terry and Buddy Baker are looking at it like, hey, bro, 28? Nah, get me to DK Metcalf. Like, they're negotiating off of two different contract figures, I feel like. I feel like the Commanders are negotiating off of the Mike Evans deal that happened a couple of years ago, or last year, and the Terry and his agency are negotiating off of the DK deal that happened this offseason. So, look, I think, and I hope the relationship hasn't soured, because I love Terry McLaurin and what he's done, not only on the field for this organization, but off the field as well, man. He's been a pillar in the community and somebody that is recognizable, somebody that's boots on the ground, you know, doing the community work, man, not just giving money. He actually is in the field doing the work. So, like, there's a lot to love about Terry, man. But at some point, man, we got to, as fans, I guess, I don't want to say hold him responsible, but I think I'm at the point where if he's willing to hold out into the regular season, just trade him. And we'll answer that exact question as we roll throughout the show. If you got it ready, AMAC, Diana Russini, senior NFL reporter and writer for The Athletic. She joined the Rich Eisen show and gave this nugget on the Commanders and their potential interest in moving McLaurin.
So, look, this is the first real big deal for Adam Peters. So I am curious to see how they hammer this out. But I can tell you they're not trading him. That's not on the table at this moment. Teams have inquired over the last few months, and they've all been told no. So this gets done. I just don't know who's going to walk away from this one feeling like they won. I'm not sure at this point. So
when we look at it from that premise, and I kind of agree, low key, because, like, I don't know, man. Like, a trade, I just keep going back to the point of, like, what motivation would Washington have to trade him? When you think about what this team is, what their expectations are for next year, there is no motivation to trade him because you want your team to be the best version of itself. If they were going to trade him, like Graz has said, like others have alluded to, you probably would have done it in the offseason where you can recoup draft capital to go get a guy that can directly replace him. Grimes said it, man. He was out there today watching, just like I've been. They don't have a replacement. They don't have an alternative outside of Terry McLaurin. So that's why I keep going back to, well, we asked a question last night on overtime. Who needs who more? I think right now it's very clear and obvious. The Commanders need Terry more than Terry needs the Commanders, because I believe that Terry could go get $33.5, $34 million annually from another team. Will he be granted that opportunity is the question here. We'll open up the phones. 301-230-0980 is the number. Diana Russini and others seem to feel like at some point a deal gets done. What she said at the tail end of that really interests me. Who caves first? Do you think Terry McLaurin ultimately gets the deal that he wants? Or do you think the Commanders ultimately get Terry to play on the deal that they want him to play on? That's another big part of this. Like, who wins?
So I'm just looking up wide receiver free agents, because you posed the question, what would the Commanders get out of trading him? Could you possibly see a scenario where they don't get it? Like, they're still far off, getting close to the regular season, and they're like, okay, let's try to get something back for Terry and then look ahead to next year's free agency, where you have, looks like right now, Drake London, Chris Olave, and other younger players, maybe not more talented, but definitely younger with more upside.
Because, look, I think the same, and Grimes and Shefty alluded to this morning. We'll play some of that audio on the other side. But, like, there is, like, I don't want to call it collusion, because I don't think it's that. But the owners and GMs across the league are looking at each other like, hey, bro, the hell we keep paying all this money to receivers for? Like, there is a there's a collective eyebrow being raised amongst a lot of folks in the league, because this wide receiver market has gotten out of control. Now, when you've got a one percenter, as I like to describe him as, talking about Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase, blank check me, please. But you just mentioned Chris Olave, Drake London. What if Atlanta's like, hey, Slim, we ain't got that type of money? What if Arthur Blank says, no, we don't value the position that way, right? What if New Orleans, who doesn't have a quarterback, by the way, to my knowledge. I mean, Tyler Shuck, we'll see what he is. But can they justify giving out big-time money to a wide receiver if you don't even have a signal caller?
Jameson
Williams, yeah, that's another one.
Yeah, and they already paid Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Huh, you know what's interesting? That'd be an interesting trade partner. Terry for J-Mo?
But they can just wait. They can wait and just, I don't know if, like I said, they already paid Amon-Ra.
Right. Like, I don't think they're going to pay him.
Are they going to pay two receivers in Detroit?
I doubt it, because their cap spikes next year, because Jared Goff's extension begins to really kick in. I think they'll probably rework it, but look it up real quick. I think it's something nuts. His cap hit for 2026 is like $60 million or $65 million, maybe closer to $70 million. So they're going to probably have to rework that, but I guess the question we're asking is this at 301-230-0980. It's a two-parter for you. One, who do you think caves first if you believe a deal gets done, Terry or the Commanders? And the second part of the question is this. So nearly $70 million cap hit for Goff in 2026. That's why I'm like, hey, man, I think they fall off this year and then they try to get out of that deal, but who knows? So, who do you think caves first, McLaurin or the Commanders? And the second part of the question is this. At what point should Washington just say, you know what, let's just trade them? At what point should they get to that? 301-230-0980. Because for me, if we get to the regular season opener and Terry's still acting a damn fool, and I don't even want to describe it as that, because now it looks like I'm like getting on him for what he's doing. But y'all pick up what I'm putting down. If it gets to Week one, if it gets to Labor Day weekend and there's still no end in sight in terms of this hold-in and the deal getting done, at that point I'd be looking to trade him, because I don't need a distraction hanging and hovering over this franchise knowing what last year was and how good the vibes were. 301-230-0980 is the number. Chuck is in South Carolina. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, what's up, Linnell?
What's up,
and
bro?
Before I comment, I just want to say, man, I enjoy listening to you. I think you got some big stuff in your future. I can see you on TV on ESPN or something like that. I really can, because you're very professional. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I appreciate you, man. I'm professional sometimes, brother. I let loose, too.
Yeah, you're well-prepared, man. I like that. But I think on the first part of your question, honestly, I think the give is going to be Terry, but not really giving. I think he's just going to honor his contract and then bet on himself and probably hit free agency next year. It's a sad situation because I feel like Washington mishandled free agency for him. He earned the contract. He's a locker room guy. He's a great guy. The fans love him. He's a culture guy. I mean, we could go on and on and on about Terry. And then it's so disheartening that they would do him like this, like it just drags on. Because I really thought during the offseason he was going to get signed. And now it just seems like another Kirk Cousins situation. And I don't want to – and that's not the way to go because it's like they hustling backwards. You went out and get Debo, and then now you lose Terry. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That just don't make sense.
It doesn't. And, the frustrating thing, Chuck, is I feel like, to me, I'm looking more at Jaden here. I don't even care about the cap ramifications. Yeah. I want to make sure my quarterback, my franchise signal caller, has a legitimate number one wide receiver for the life of his rookie contract. Because you see it all across the National Football League. As soon as they hand out these checks to these quarterbacks, what do? Quarterback gone. I mean, wide receiver gone. Look at Tyreek Hill in Kansas City.
Right.
Look at Stephon Diggs in Buffalo. So, it's...
And I think Jaden, he was around for the... His productivity is good with, 20-something quarterbacks. He was still... The man, and I, you know what I'm saying? Come on, I don't know, man. It's heartbreaking, but I'm team Terry all the way because I don't have a problem. He didn't set the market, first of all. When they paid DK that money, I just feel like he deserves it, and I'm not one of those fans that, take less money. No, man, get what you deserve because this is probably going to be his last contract. Pay the man, and let's just move forward, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I appreciate the call, as always. 301-230-0980 is the number. 301-230-0980 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Your calls. Who do you think gives in first, Terry McLaurin or the Washington Commanders? Plus, if we get to week one and Terry McLaurin still has not signed an extension, at that point, would you be open to trading him? It's next on the Team 980. 301-230-0980 is the number. Tap into the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham. I'll take you up to 4 o'clock before we hand things over to the DOC, Rick Doc Walker. Coming up in about 25 minutes, Logan Paulson, one half of the Take Command podcast with our guy Craig Hoffman, is going to join the program. We'll get his thoughts on training camp throughout the first 7 days. Getting Logan on the program after the second padded practice of camp, thumbs up. Thumbs up. So super excited to get the chance to talk to him. What we're taking your calls on now is this. Who do you think caves first? Because I think that's where we're at when it comes to Terry McLaurin and the Washington Commanders. I will not blink again until Labor Day weekend because I don't think anything changes between now to the weekend of the season opener. If he's still not signed, if there's still not progress that had been made between now and the start of the regular season, I'm at the point where I just trade him, seriously, and I'm asking that with hesitancy because I get it, I understand trading him is not beneficial to the team, right? Like it's not beneficial to the team at all. They want to win this year. That's why you trade for Tunsil. That's why you trade for Debo. It's why you made all the moves that you made this offseason was to, be the best version of yourself. You are the best version of yourself with Terry McLaurin. With that being said, though, you don't think there's something to the idea of, you want the vibes to be good in your building, you want the juju to be good in your building, you don't want distractions for your young quarterback? Because think about this. If Jaden Daniels struggles next year out the gate and it's without Terry McLaurin, think about what type of pressure that puts on him. Think about the conversations that he'll now be subjected to. And I get, like, that shouldn't influence your decision-making, but it would for me. It would for me. 301-230-0980 is the number. So the big picture item that I want to look at here when it comes to whether or not they get a deal done is what happens moving forward with other guys that are due for an extension, right? Frankie Louvu is coming up soon. I'm pulling up their contract situation right now via Spotrac. In terms of, like, who is going to be a free agent going into this offseason, right? Terry McLaurin set to hit free agency. Debo Samuel set to hit free agency. Austin Ekeler, Marcus Mariota, bunch of different guys. Von Miller, Ertz. But what's more important to me is the 2026 guys. Does Marshawn Lattimore, like, based off of the way the team is acting, do you think Marshawn Lattimore is going to hold out next offseason? Probably not. You think Daron Payne is going to hold out next offseason? Probably not. You think Tunsil is going to hold out? Probably not. Dorrance Armstrong? Like, they have so many dudes that are going to be in Terry's situation next year that I wonder, like, how they're going to play it. Are they playing hardball with Terry McLaurin because they don't want a bunch of other guys holding out? Or do you think they just really aren't ready to pay him? That's what I'm interested in. Because think about this. Like, Terry is heart and soul type of guy, culture guy, glue guy, all that. I would describe Frankie Louvu as that. Frankie Louvu is the heart and soul of this Commanders defense. The heart and soul of this Commanders defense. He is set to be a free agent at the end of next year. Meaning, if you're Frankie Louvu, well, Terry held out. Why wouldn't I? That's what I wonder here. Like, how are the other guys viewing this? Right? Tyler, they signed a bunch of three-year deals. A bunch of important three-year deals when they first got here last offseason. Dorrance Armstrong, Frankie Louvu, Tyler Biadasz, Nick Allegretti. They signed a bunch of three-year deals. We're now at the point where you're going to have to start looking and saying, hey, are these guys going to be at risk of holding out too? That's what I continue to wonder. I'm fascinated by it all. It's business at the end of the day, though, folks. It is. If they get a deal done, it's water under the bridge. If they don't, though, and he has to play this year out on the contract and bet on himself, if you hold out into the regular season, odds are you're not going to be able to successfully bet on yourself. So if I'm Terry, like, me and my agent will have a drop-dead day if I'm McLaurin, that, all right, we showing up at this date no matter what. 301-230-0980 is the number. Who caves first, Terry McLaurin or the team? And then at what point do you consider trading Terry McLaurin? Let's go to Rod Landover. What's up, Rod?
Hey, what's up, brother?
How you doing?
Hey, look, I'm good, man. Thank you, man. So, look, I think Terry will probably get in first, but, man, this is crazy.
The fact that we're still here, I'm starting to get bothered by it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's crazy, man, because at the end of the day, we need this guy on this team, man. One of the best things Jaden Daniels do is throw the deep ball.
Right.
If you get rid of this guy, man, the deep ball is almost like you're taking something away from our quarterback. You know, I just don't get it, man. And I tell you what, if we come out and we don't have Terry and we're struggling, what the fans going to say? What the media going to say?
Yeah.
You know, we're going to point to the fact that Terry is not on the field, especially if we ain't got nobody out there that can take the top off the defense and, you know, kind of open up things for everybody else. But I think Terry will probably give in first, man. And last thing I want to say is mm-hmm. Don't when a player normally miss, you know, a lot of playing time, man, when they come back, it's easy for them to get, like, hamstrings.
They get hurt. Look at Ayuk. Like look at Ayuk. You yeah, don't think Ayuk tearing his ACL had nothing to do with his holdout? Are you being oblivious?
Exactly. So yeah. They need to hurry up and get this thing done, man, and stop playing, man. Get our man back on the field. You know, pay the man. You know, just pay the man. And Terry made a good point in the interview that mm-hmm. he had. You know, I don't know if the team take this into consideration or not, but Terry was like, man, I've never been hurt. You know, I don't have a whole lot of tread on my tires, even though I'm 30. I've never been hurt. I play game after game. You know what I'm saying? They got to look at all
but,
this.
But here's the thing, Rod, and I appreciate the call. And I, there, and Dan Graziano just said this, because the Commanders are such an analytics-based organization, if they numbers say, hey, we ain't paying no 30-year-old wide receiver a certain dollar amount, they're not going to do it. From the top down, remember Eugene Shin? That name should ring bells to you all. This is an analytics-driven organization. Everything they do is calculated and based off of the numbers. The numbers are telling them right now that paying a 30-year-old wide receiver $30-plus million annually is not the thing to do. So I continue to believe, yeah, to answer the question, I think Terry caves in first. But I just – I'm not trying to allow myself to be upset with McLaurin. Because I hear a lot of your calls. I read a lot of y'all tweets. Some people are fed up with Terry. I get it. But, man, I just want this team to replicate last year's success, and I know that they can't do it without 17. Dominic is in Tampa, wants to chime in. What's up, Dom?
Hey, Leno, how you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Good, good, good. Yeah, so I think Terry caves in first, and, you know, because here's why. The minute they go into the regular season, he starts getting fined game checks. He needs to explain to his wife why his bank account is starting to drop.
Well, here's the thing. He's not going to get fined. This is what's interesting, right? And I said this a moment ago. He's on the PUP list. They can't fine him for missing regular season games. He's hurt, quote unquote.
I mean, who are we kidding here, though, Linnell?
But that's what I'm saying. This is where I'm like, that's why I said a moment ago, I'm like confused. Is the team doing him a favor? Because I don't think he's hurt. But
I don't think he is either.
If he's on PUP,
I don't think he is.
When the season starts, he's got to miss at least the first four games. That's by rule of the CBA. Are they going to keep him on PUP or not? That's the whole thing, man. Like this is all messy to me. It's weird.
Yeah, I I guess I'll end it with this: is that at some point, I mean, they clearly don't want to put a ring on it. I think,
right?
To be honest, and I think it's because they must really like what they have out of their other wide receiver, and they're just not saying it.
It can't be that. It can't be. I think it's their analytics department saying, hey, this is what it is and what it ain't.
Okay, that's fine. But I just clearly, they love each other. They're not in love with each other. I guess I'll end it with that.
It's a perfect way to put it, Dom. I appreciate the call as always. 301-230-0980 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you hear from Dan Graziano and Adam Schefter of ESPN. They were on Get Up this morning and had some interesting thoughts on how they think this Terry McLaurin thing continues to play out. Logan Paulson going to join us at 2:45. We're going to pivot off of Terry McLaurin and take a look at this Washington Commanders front office coming up here at the 3 o'clock hour as well. Don't go anywhere. It's the Team 980. 301-230-0980 is the number. Linnell Willingham sitting in for Chris Russell. Taking it up to 4 o'clock before we hand things over to the DOC, Rick Doc Walker. He'll take you on your afternoon drive home. Coming up in about 15 minutes, former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson going to join the program. We'll get his thoughts on how the fellas looked on the second fully padded practice of NFL training camp. I said this to start. I'll run it back here again, and we'll corroborate my thoughts with Logan. I thought the offense looked pretty damn good today. There were a lot of run periods. And Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt continues to pop and stand out. Chris Rodriguez had a run that stood out. But more importantly, I was just proud of the offense bouncing back because the first day that they were in full pads and they tried to run the football, they could not do it. They got stuffed routinely. Today, though, you saw more misdirection. You saw jet sweep stuff. It was a damn good day for the offense. And it's not just like I'm talking about the first-team offense when I describe it. I'm talking about the second-team offense, third-team offense, because guys are mixing in and out all of these lineups. Jalen Lane, highlighted him off the top of the show. For all the hoopla surrounding Terry McLaurin and whether or not they can get a deal done, the only benefit and silver lining of not having Terry there is Jalen Lane is not starving for reps. He's running with the first team, the second team, third team. He's getting a bunch of looks everywhere, and I think he is going to end up being a good player. He's starting to stack days here. I didn't notice him the first. Honestly, that Sunday catch that he made in the back of the end zone, it wasn't really a catch. Like, that's really, to me, when I started to notice him. He had not been making routine plays before that. But last 2 days, last 3 days, Shawty's going to be a problem. 301-230-0980 is the number. We'll let you hear from ESPN's Adam Schefter. He had this to say on the possibility of a Terry McLaurin trade.
They're not making progress in Washington. They're not making progress in Dallas. They're not making progress in Cincinnati. And I can tell you that the rest of the league is watching what's going on in all of these cities. And they're wondering, when do we try to swoop in and try to see if we can get this player in a trade? Again, nobody ever thinks that. Khalil Mack at one point, when he was at the Raiders said, he's our guy. We want him to finish his career here. We have no intention of trading him. And then lo and behold, when it was a knockdown, drag-out battle all summer and they hadn't made progress, in September, the week before the opener, we saw a trade. Would that happen with any of these three players? It is not anything that their teams are thinking about today. It's a long way from happening later on, but it's a question that I think you have to ask yourself if these situations in all three places continue to be at a stalemate, which they're currently at what point does one of these teams say, you know what?
We're done.
Let's listen to see what we can do.
That's Adam Schefter. And to this point, the Commanders are not listening to offers. Diana Russini, we played that audio earlier, reported that, you know, they've gotten calls. Have they seriously taken any of the calls? No, that according to Diana Russini. That sounds like something, honestly, that's coming from the front office. Because guess what? Anytime a team picks up the phone and calls, you answer. And look, are they negotiating with other teams in good faith? Probably not. They're probably like, you can have Terry. Just give me 2 first-round picks. And we know teams are probably hanging up after that. But to me, the idea of a Terry McLaurin trade, it's frustrating because I don't think it's likely or realistic because they should have done that in the offseason if that's how they felt. The other thing is, like, what type of value are you going to get back for Terry McLaurin? So Bill Barnwell of ESPN put together his NFL trade tiers, and he put together basically a list of the most valuable assets on every team, and he, you know, projected what they would be traded for. When it comes down to Terry McLaurin, it says the Commanders don't want to find out whether or not they can land a premium pick for wide receiver Terry McLaurin. I think it would be super tough to see a team trading a first-round pick for a wideout who turns 30 in September. So I don't think you're going to get a first-round pick for Terry. If you're not getting a one, I would have a hard time moving him. 301-230-0980 is the number. Lap is in D.C. Wants to check in. What's up, Lap?
Hey, what's up, Lunel, man? Good show, bro.
Hey, appreciate you.
I don't know, man. They ain't trying to put a ring on Terry's finger, man. They looking at Terry like a side chick, man. If they was going to then do this, they should have did it already, man. This is crazy that we still talking about this and this is dragging out, man. We can't be a contender, you know what I'm saying, without Terry, man. You know what I'm saying? So they got to get this together, man. And all the other receivers, like, is any of them showing up? Is any of them separating? Is any of them making a difference?
Like I said, Jalen Lane's made plays. Jalen Lane's made plays. KJ Osborne's made plays. Noah Brown's made plays. Debo's had the best camp of any skill guy in the offense. So.
Oh, yeah. He's a beast.
So I'm excited about.
Yeah, we're going to see, man. I just want to get this resolved, though, Lunel, man, and so we can focus on football, man, get ready for week one, man, with the Giants. So we'll see, man. Keep up the good work.
Appreciate you, bro. Yes, sir.
My birthday is Monday, bro.
Well, happy early birthday to you, brother. What are you turning? Thank you, man. Which turn to 21?
I got the same birthday as Barack.
Wow. Yeah. Which turn to 21?
Yeah. I wish I was, man.
I appreciate you as always, Lap. So, yeah, and look. Look! I look to my right, Mike Tannenbaum, Commanders talk. We're on every national show, every day, in every block.
How does that feel as a fan?
I know. It's honestly like nuts. It's a very surreal feeling. I remember when I was a kid, that's why I used to like love, whenever we were in primetime when I was younger, it was like, oh yeah, they care about us. Didn't happen often. 301-230-0980 is the number. At what point should the Commanders consider trading Terry McLaurin? For me, if this is still dragging out and we're at this point when we get to the regular season opener when you host the New York Giants, I think you got to seriously consider moving on. The problem is this, and why nobody's really willing to have that convo. They would look stupid if they traded him now and not this past offseason. They would look like fools. But if you feel the need to part ways, you feel the need to part ways. Let's go to Mark in Largo. Let's chime in. What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's up, Linnell? Let me say this, man. If you want this thing to end, it's very, very simple. Y'all in the media need to turn on Adam Peters. Linnell, you laugh.
You better look, Mark. You better pay attention to the rest of the show.
Bro, I'm
right there with you.
All of y'all in unison on them out. Did y'all start calling them out in unison? And everything stopped putting the dartboard of Adam Peters up there on the dartboard. They'll get that done within 20 minutes. But see, if y'all don't do that, and y'all keep thinking, oh, God, he looks so good. He looks this. He's that. He's that. Just because someone looks good and does this doesn't mean he's a people person.
Oh, don't worry. We're going
to get off of that.
We're going to get into Adam Peters a little bit later on in the 3 o'clock hour. Because guess what, Mark? Jaden Daniels, outside of him, what other pick has hit from him firmly, concretely? Him and Mikey. The other picks, I don't know.
Him and Mikey, here's the sad part. You know, and this is what's sad about this. If Terry caves, this is going to be bad for Adam because everybody's going to see that. And you know what they're going to say? You know what Lattimore's going to say?
Yep.
You know what Debo's going to say? You know what? If he did that to Terry and as great a season as Terry did, what makes you think he's going to do something for me? I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Everybody seems – Craig Hoffman. Look, I love Craig. Craig got to get off the Kool-Aid juice for Adam. I'm serious, man. He thinks Adam is gone. Al Adams hit it. You should see how he fondles over there on his damn show.
Oh,
makes
my
me
God.
Sick, wants to throw up. If I was his wife, I'd be questioning his manhood.
Mark, we appreciate your call. Look, when it comes to Adam Peters, and we'll discuss this as we get into the 3 o'clock hour, I'm wondering, are any of you feeling the way Mark in Largo feels? Has this Terry McLaurin negotiation at all changed your perspective of Adam Peters in the front office? We'll touch on that as we get into the 3 o'clock hour, but I want to run through a few more of these calls before we get to Logan Paulson. Our guy Athan is in Annapolis. What's going on, Athan?
Hey, Linus. You having a good show today? Almost as good as the Varsity Chris Russell.
Appreciate you, man.
Hey, listen. This subject is so exhausted every day. Can we talk about Sidney Sweeney and like the American Eagle commercials or something like that? This guy is not Jerry Rice. Okay, you named all these players, Luvu and Lattimore and Arms. Exactly. There's going to be a lot of work to be done to get these guys back, or they better draft really well if they're going to let some of them go because this team is still rebuilding from 33 new players last year. It's not going to happen overnight. And that's why, you know, I respect Mark's opinion when he calls in. But listen, Adam Peters has been in places where they know how to win. Let's let him do his job. Everybody who needs to understand something, Terry is under contract. And they can throw the tag on him next year if he doesn't report. He has to report eventually. He's under contract.
But
if
here's
he
the thing, Ethan,
he's
Ethan,
not going to accumulate
this,
the year.
This is what is. And I guess I'm going to be the first one to unearth this because I, you know, take pride in being a super inquisitive radio host, despite, you know, people yelling at me and saying I'm a shock jock and say things for clicks. They put him on PUP as throwing him a bone, bro. They can't find him. He's on PUP. If he starts the regular season on PUP, he's not subject to fines.
Well, here's the thing, though. Eventually, that PUP runs out. I mean, you can
that's the thing. We know there's no real ankle injury. So, like, him being on PUP now is garbage. What's going to change with the ankle between now and the first game of the regular season? The only thing that heals that ankle is the dollar sign. So, I think that's a very interesting, like, nugget in all of this, that they put him on PUP.
Yeah, but, Linnell, why do thieves get caught? Why do thieves get caught? You want to know why? Because they get greedy. Yeah. Okay. And he can only commit fraud with this ankle for so long. Okay. There'll probably be something in the next CBA, there'll be something about this because of the Terry McLaurin clause about faking injuries or whatever. But listen, they have the upper hand. And if he doesn't want to report, I'm interested in Kroski Merritt and all these other guys you've been talking about that are going to make a difference on this team this year. Would we be better with him? Absolutely. But guess what? There's a lot of other fish to fry other than him, and he's not elite. So take your 28 or 29 million, be happy with it, or adios. Yeah. You got to go.
Point blank. Logan Paulson joins the show next on the Team 980. 301-230-0980 is the number. Tapped into the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham. I'll take you up to 4 o'clock. The DOC, Rick Doc Walker, will take you on your afternoon drive home. Right now, we go out to the guest hotline for the second time this show. We find our pal Logan Paulson, one half of the Take Command podcast. You can download that wherever you get your podcast. What's going on, big fella? How are you?
Much, man. It's good to be talking with you.
I'm glad to be talking to you, too, man. First and foremost, the one thing that's really been interesting to me about the first 7 practices, Logan, of camp, what do you make of, like, how often they've gone pads versus not being in pads as a former player? Like, compare the first 7 days of this camp to the first 7 days of training camp where you were in the National Football League.
Yeah, you know, this is quite a bit different than when I was playing, and quite a bit different than from when all the guys that I've played with were playing, quite honestly. You know, like when you talk to B. Mitch, when you talk to Santana, when you talk to Fred, like, we always kind of have the old guy reminisce conversation, but I do think this is smart. I think this is the direction the NFL should be headed, because I will say, like, when I was coming out of, like, those early pseudo double days my rookie year, and definitely when there was in double days when I was in college, like, my body was not physically right until probably week 4, sometimes week 5 of the season, you know, because you've just been through such a difficult training block. And so I do think, like Dan said it in his first presser, and I agree with this 100%, like, his job is to keep the guys healthy, and one of the reasons this team was successful last year is because they were one of the healthier teams in the NFL. And so this is one of the tools you can utilize, one of the variables you can mess with to make sure that this team is healthy moving into the season. And again, like, the football is a violent collision-based sport, and injuries are going to happen. But if we can mitigate some soft tissue injuries, like, might as well, like, from what I understand, like, they've been pretty healthy in this camp. And then I talked to some of my buddies up in Baltimore. They've had a, you know, kind of a myriad of soft tissue injuries. Like, those are within your control. And, you know, you can't make the team in the tub. You can't get reps if you're in the tub. So I do think, like, managing the elements you can manage here, in this case pads, is ultimately going to be the right thing for the Commanders moving into 2025.
Yeah, I definitely agree with the philosophy as well. And it just seems like everybody in that building, the support staff, coaches, trainers, and all that, like, they're all on the same page when it comes to, you know, giving the guys the best, you know, chance to go out and have success. So it's awesome to hear that. I saw a picture. I think Jalen Holmes posted, like, the hyperbaric chamber that they've now gotten there. So they're doing everything in their power to make sure these guys are right. And I think, you know, that's the reason why we haven't really seen any injuries to this point in camp, as I'm knocking on wood, big fella. Through 7 days.
Yeah, me too, man.
Through 7 days, though, Logan, who's some guys that have flashed to you?
Gosh, I mean, if we had, you know, like, I'd basically say everyone on the defense, like, all that whole group has really come in and exceeded expectations, specifically guys in the secondary. And if you've listened to any of my content on, you know, Take Command of the Command Center podcast, like, I've been just really touting how impressive that group has been. You know, you talk about Trey Amos as a rookie, and the poise and the composure he shows when the football's in the air is just really incredible. I think Marshawn Lattimore looks to be in great shape and kind of poised for a big year if he can stay healthy. Mike Sanderson, I was really concerned about him moving to the slot. Obviously, that's a new position, new angles, new route combinations you have to defend, and he's done an excellent job. And then the two safeties, man. Like, I know, like, the corners are kind of the sexy positions, but, you know, Quan Martin looks awesome coming off the shoulder surgery. And, you know, Will Harris, I think, was one of the sneakier good additions this offseason by Adam Peters. Like, his ability to play man coverage, his instinct in the post, his ability to mix it up in the box. Like, I've just been super impressed. And then the depth of that group, like, Noah Igbinoghene's had some really
outstanding reps. He had a day-to-day, man. He had a day-to-day,
Yeah. I mean, and then, like, this is one of a couple days that he played really well. You know, I agree with you. And so, It's just, you know, Tyler Owens, like that whole group, or the Revo's communication in the back end. Yeah. I don't know if it's year two in the defense. I don't know if it's the leadership. I don't know if they've changed something. But they just look so much more confident in the back end of the defense.
I totally agree. And I think, Logan, it ultimately is going to help unlock this pass rush unit, which I think is going to really, you know, surprise some people. Like, I think they have the guys on the interior to consistently be able to push the pocket. And I think they have solid guys on the edge to where they're going to be able to keep contained. My question is this about how they're going to generate pressure. Based on the secondary being improved, Logan, do you see this number changing? Last year, I believe the Commanders blitzed at the sixth highest rate in the National Football League. Does that number go up or go down with the secondary being even better?
Yeah, you know what's funny is I think that's just part of who Joe Witt Jr. wants to be. And okay. I think when you look at his model, like you look at what Dan Quinn was in Dallas, like they didn't have to blitz all the time. Obviously, they had Micah Parsons. But I do think like you can get into some simulated pressures, kind of these, you know, four-man overloads, these double A-gap mug looks that they've shown a lot of in camp, and kind of say, man, like, that's too good of a package for them not to use that. Now, yeah. I think they've got enough guys to win with four. I think you look at Dorrance Armstrong, you look at Von Miller, you look at Kinlaw, you look at Payne. Those guys have been excellent in terms of rushing the pass for Frankie Louvu. So you probably don't have to, but I just think what they've shown so far in camp from a pressure package perspective is really just too good, and they have to utilize it, I think, because, again, why would I not throw my fastball if it's looking that good? Now, I might be wrong, and it might change as they get into the season. They might say we can play more coverage, but I think one of the things they can do with this coverage group is play a lot of man coverage, bring an extra rusher, and say, man, like one of these offensive players is going to lose in pass protection to our group right now, and I think that's a pretty exciting proposition.
Logan, next week up at Foxborough, I expect it to be a slobber knocker, just knowing how Mike Vrabel coaches and how his teams play. I'm more excited for the practice than I am about the game. Are there two or three guys that you're saying, hey, like Foxborough is a real opportunity for him to, you know, show something to this coaching staff, whether it's as becoming a starter or solidifying his spot on this team?
Yeah, I think going into Foxborough, there's a couple of positions I'm kind of keeping an eye on. One is the running back position, because like I want to see how all those guys handle the physicality of, you know, of the practice, the blitz pickup responsibilities of the practice, and then like for Merritt, like getting tackled by NFL defenders in the preseason game. You know, for Chris Rodriguez, does he still have some pop? You know, he kind of struggled in the preseason last year because he looked a little bit out of shape. He doesn't look like that this year. Like, where is everybody at, and can you carve yourself a role? And then the other group of guys that I'm kind of keeping an eye on is who's going to be the guy that steps up and says, I am the fifth or sixth wide receiver on this roster. You know, you and I were talking today on the sideline about Moore, about Strachan, about, you know, Hurd, and like who's going to be that guy that says, I deserve this opportunity? Because really no one's, like, people have had good days, but no one's had that exceptional great playmaking day. And even like Ja'Cory Brooks, who a lot of fans have talked about, like he's been good but not great. And so who's going to have that great day? And I do think if you have a great week of practice up in Foxborough, you win your one-on-ones, you make some contested catches, I think you could probably, you know, start distancing yourself from the rest of that pack.
Obviously, Logan, the big story nationally, locally, is that Terry McLaurin is not in attendance. You just mentioned the wide receiver group, someone needing to step up to help out this quarterback in this passing offense. As we get closer to the regular season, Logan, and you think about, one, what this team was last year, and then two, kind of the backbone of Cliff Kingsbury and Anthony Lynn and Coach Bobby Johnson, this running game last year, I described it as exotic smash-mouth football, Logan. I think despite Jayden being under center, it's who they want to be at their core is a physical run-first team. When you look at the 12 and 13 personnel sets that we're seeing here this camp, Is our guy Ben Sinnott going to allow them to play more of those looks so they can pass out of it? Or do you think this is still a situation where, hey, you'll see it, but it's going to be to run the football?
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that progresses. You know, obviously he didn't practice today, or he was limited today. I might have met an individual, but he wasn't in team stuff. I think he's got some type of soft tissue injury. Don't quote me on that. I'm just kind of – I might be remembering something from weeks ago. Who knows? But basically, like, I want to see what they get to with him. I want to see how he develops, you know, because, like, you have Zach, you have John. I think Colson Yankoff's had a really solid training camp, actually, too,
yes,
so going to give him his flowers. And Ben, you know, we've seen him have explosive plays in practice. We've seen him have explosive blocks in practice. We know he's an explosive athlete. Can he do that consistently is the question, right? He's a young player. He's coming from Kansas State. It's a little bit more complicated at this level. And so I'm fully confident that they'll be able to do more with him this year. I just don't know what that exactly is yet. And I'm going to defer to Cliff Kingsbury on that because he's made excellent personnel decisions in terms of maximizing talent throughout 2024. And I just expect that to carry into this year as well. So we'll see what it ends up being. But yeah, I can't wait to see what that tight end group looks like because, I mean, I don't know, you were at practice today watching Zach Ertz win all those man to man repetitions today. Like, he's still got some juice. Colson Yankoff, same thing. John Bates in the run game. Like, that is a fun, fun physical group to watch. And I hope Ben can find a more prominent role in it.
Logan, what have you thought of this Commanders offensive line through the first two padded practices? I thought, you know, today clearly an emphasis on running the football. Their first padded practice, they really struggled to get any movement in the run game. What did you think about today's session and their ability to, you know, create some creases for guys like Bill and C-Rod and B-Rob?
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of like the offensive line guy. You know, like, and what I would say to that is, like, you like to watch it, and I like to watch it too, is that I thought today was much, much better. Yes. I thought they kind of got to more of their, like, meat and potatoes type runs, like their bounces, their traps. They had I think they had a wham in there where, like, they were able to create some really clean creases for the running back, guys where, like, they're not touched to, you know, running into the second level of the defense. And all those guys ran just exceptionally hard today. Like, you know, Jakowski Merritt, man, he's got this kind of wild horse running style. Yes. And then when C-Rod's got the ball in his hands, man, like, you feel his mass getting downhill explosively and with a lot of power. So I was really impressed with that group today. I think they're coming along. You know, offensive line, everyone thinks, oh, it's like, you know, you bring in new people and it's going to gel right away. You got to get six guys at the tight ends involved in the blocking service to start seeing runs and feeling combinations in the same way. That takes a little bit of time. And when you've added a bunch of new pieces and you've moved people around the front, like, people talk about, oh, it's going to be better right away. It's going to take some time. And I think today was a really good data point for that offensive line. And I thought they did much better than they had been doing. And I'm excited to see them continue to progress. And I think they're getting hot at the right time heading up to New England.
Obviously, Sam Cosmi, his return, we'll find out a lot more about how close he is after the joint practices against Baltimore. But that right guard spot, Nick Allegretti's gotten a majority of the work there, Logan. Do you foresee him being the guy, or is there someone else that's caught your eye there as well that could potentially push him?
Yeah, I mean, I think Nick Allegretti deserves that opportunity. I mean, obviously, if Connerly comes along and develops really quickly, maybe Wiley puts his hat in that mix. I think Chris Paul has done well in his limited reps with the first team there. So
he's got a new body. To me, it feels like, about Chris Paul, he's definitely gotten in way better shape this year.
Yeah, and I think that's good. I think there's a lot of guys that seem like they came in really good shape. Kudos to Chad Englehart and that entire strength staff. Man, they've done a great job getting those guys ready to go. But what I will say is, yeah, it feels like it's Allegretti's job to lose. But if someone starts playing well, like we talked about Connerly looking like kind of developing at right tackle, if that developmental arc accelerates, I think Wiley could be in the mix to play a right guard there too. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But as of right now, I think your starting five is probably something resembling like Tunsil, Coleman, Biadasz, Allegretti, and Wiley. And then we'll see who develops and if anybody else can put their hat in the mix there.
I'll let you go on this, my friend. What have you made of the timing of this Washington pass offense, specifically with the first team led by Jaden Daniels?
Well, I think it's been I think the timing's been all right. I think it's just been a little bit of a struggle because I think the defense is playing really well. And today was a nice day for the offense to find some explosive opportunities. Like Jaden and Debo, that chemistry seems to be getting better each and every day. Like fade today over Carlin Biggers to Debo, like perfect touch on the ball, great adjustment by Debo. You see him on the high crosses. They try to get him a screen today. Like, that's going to be a really nice weapon for this offense. But again, like, when you've got guys like, we talked about Moore taking a lot of reps. We talked about Ja'Cory Brooks taking a lot of reps. We talked about Stretch and taking a lot of reps. Talk about Luke McCaffrey taking a lot of reps. Those guys, to me, are still developing and still trying to kind of put their stamp on this roster versus guys that I think are much more established. And Mike Sanders still, Marshawn Lattimore, we mentioned the safeties, and Trey Amos is having a great camp. So I think the disparity in experience, the disparity in talent there, shows up sometimes in practice, and I think it makes it challenging. But I do think it's a great opportunity for those guys to say, hey, like we talked about at the top, like go to New England, let's make some plays, and I deserve to be on this roster and making this football team. So, again, that's why I think the receiver group at the moment is so, so compelling.
Logan, we appreciate you as always, my friend. See you out there soon, buddy.
Yeah. All right, man. Good talking to you, Leno.
That is Logan Paulson, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you check out the Take Command podcast wherever you get your podcast. Him and Craig Hoffman do an excellent job with that. I always love picking Logan's brain because he called me an offensive line guru. First of all, he knows how to tickle my fancy and make me feel good about myself. And then two, he speaks my language a lot of the time with this stuff, man. And anytime I get to confirm my thoughts with him, I'm super grateful for it. Always appreciative of him being willing to give me his time. We'll take a quick time out when we come back. Final hour of power next here on the Team 980.